4, and one of them is in the magnificent windows on Channel 4. Please welcome John Finnemore and Vicky Pepperdine. John, have you a joke?
I have a joke. Yes, my joke concerns a woman who goes to the cinema and sits next to a man who's brought his dog along. And the dog's got a seat to himself, and as the film begins, she notices that the dog seems to be really engrossed in it. It's really paying attention, and when the hero comes along, he wags his tail. When the villain comes along, his hackles go up. At the end, he barks and whimpers excitedly. Just seems to have had a fantastic time. So as they're filing out, the woman says to the man, sorry, I couldn't help but notice, your dog seems to really enjoy that film. And the man says, yes, I know, it's extraordinary. He hated the book.
Vicky, do you have a joke?
It's a really long one.
It's a long one?
Yeah.
Okay.
What did the pirate say when he turned 80?
I don't
know. I'm 80!
John Culshaw, do you have anything?
Yes, I do. It is, what is the difference between a kangaroo and a kangaroot? A kangaroo is an Australian marsupial, and a kangaroot is what a Geordie man says when he's stuck in a lift.
And finally, those jokes.
Yes, well, I don't know if this is a joke, John, but I did a show in Liverpool recently, and... Afterwards, this bloke came up to me and said, hey, listen, I want to talk. I said, well, just keep practicing.
Right, and finally, ladies and gentlemen, please welcome your host, for this evening, Mr. Jack D. Chip in and say, oh, a week. But he's not
After a 20-minute interval, during which you are encouraged to drink as heavily as you can at the bars, what will happen now is the signature tune to the first of the two shows will be played in, and I would be very grateful, please, if at the mention of Jack's name you would applaud, possibly cheer, as if the amusing show is in prospect. are you ready, Jenny, in the van? Shabby. Oh, what if your computers has crashed?
Sometimes when there's a delay like this, John, people on panel shows are somewhat misbehave. I've seen it happen. People will plug the things that they're up to and do it. I find that unacceptable. Even though I've got a new book out, I would not.
No, you had a book out.
Yes, I have. As it happens, it's called What's Your Problem, and it's available in all the Sue Ryder shops.
Sue, excellent. Plug done. All right. So, signature tune. Are you ready, Jerry?
I'm sorry I haven't a clue. The antidote to panel games. At the piano is Colin Sell, and your chairman is Jack D.
Throughout the world as 200 miles northwest of London. The area's name derives from the Old English word sealford, meaning ford by the willow trees. However, this image of Salford is long past. A better description today might be Toyota in the canal. Salford is located on the river which derives its name from the vibrant and optimistic attitude of its people. We're coming to you from Salford's Lowry Centre, named after the painter Ellis Lowry. Lowry was, of course, best known for those industrial landscapes populated by his iconic matchstick men, women and children, providing social historians with a valuable record of what life was like in Salford before Greggs. During the booming trade in wool during the 14th century, Salford became home to a community of Flemish weavers whose worldwide exports made them a considerable fortune, including linen, textiles, and Man United scarves. In 1733, the industrialist John Kay invented the mechanized fly shuttle, one of the key developments of the Industrial Revolution. The fly shuttle revolutionized the Manchester cotton industry by allowing mill owners to get to London Gatwick in just over an hour. According to his sister-in-law, Adolf Hitler visited Salford in 1912 before moving to Liverpool to stay with the family of his brother, Alois. Historians believe it may have been this move to Liverpool that inspired Hitler to steal Poland. On nearby Trafford Wharf sits the modernist Northern Imperial War Museum, whose architect's stated intention was to create a space as unsettling as war itself, with no natural light, wild fluctuations of temperature and a pathway through the building that's deliberately disorienting. If it's closed, interested visitors are recommended to try the IKEA in Ashton. Salford Quays is home to many exclusive multi-million pound properties. Critics claim only the very rich can afford to live there, rock stars, bankers, and Man City ball boys. In 1847, a Salford cleric, the Reverend William Coward, launched Britain's first vegetarian church, successfully converting a huge local congregation to an entirely meat-free diet. Luckily for the Manchester Vegetarian Church movement, for the next 150 years, they were able to blame the pungent smell on nearby Boddington's brewery. In 1908, John Noel Nichols, a key figure in the Manchester temperance movement, began manufacturing his new beverage, Vinto, in Salford's Chapel Street with the intention of keeping Mancunians alcohol-free. Better luck next time. In 1904, Charles Rolls famously met Henry Royce at Manchester's Midlands Hotel and decided to found their company, Rolls-Royce. Coincidentally, at the table next to the future motor car tycoons, biscuit history was being made when Norman Hobb met Robert Mull. The Liverpool and Manchester Railway was the busiest railway in Victorian England. Manchester's busiest train service today is the 6:05 p.m. which runs every other Saturday. It's the one Manchester United fans use to get back to their homes in London. In 2004, Manchester University scientists Konstantin Novoselov and Andrei Geim created graphene, the world's thinnest material. At just one atom thick, it went on to revolutionize the computer industry. Before 2004, the world's thinnest material was read out by Nigel Rees on quote unquote. Graphene not only has the strength of high tensile steel, but is so thin it's invisible to the naked eye. Just two reasons why graphene is used to manufacture the only condoms officially sanctioned by the Vatican. Nearby Chetham's Library, the oldest public library in the English-speaking world, was founded in 1653. Sadly for would-be book borrowers, they had to wait for another 250 years for the invention of the gas bill to prove their name and address before they were allowed to. Amongst its impressive collection of rare books, the library boasts a first edition of Stephen Hawking's A Brief History of Time. Like most copies, much of it is in pristine condition. In my case, from around page 7 onwards. Manchester has produced some of the world's greatest writers, Elizabeth Gaskell and Thomas de Quincey, to name but two. Of course, Manchester's greatest writer of fiction is still anonymous. It's the person who entered the word musician under occupation on Bez's passport. The Manchester Bed Company, based in nearby Openshaw, features beds designed by local celebrities. The latest addition to the range is the Roy Keane bed, which comes complete with two wrong sides to get out of. Steam-powered submarine was invented in Manchester by the Reverend George Garrett in 1878. Called Resurgent, its maiden voyage ended in disaster when the sub was overwhelmed and sank in an inland waterway in central Manchester. Luckily, no one was hurt, and the Reverend Garrett entered the history books as the first vicar to go down on Canal Street. Famously home to Coronation Street. First broadcast back in December 1960, it remains as popular today as ever. Who'd have thought that a decades-old programme pumping out the same old nonsense still appeal in this day and age? Let's meet the teams. Trunks, the Immaculate Sven. Well, we start this week with a round that's all about books. Choosing a sufficiently interesting title for your novel is regarded as crucial in the publishing world. as the early rejection of Eden Waugh's Birkenhead Revisited. H.G. Wells's The Slime Machine. Gabriel Garcia Marquez's Love in the Time of Cauliflower. Likewise, the choice of an opening line is considered crucial for engaging the reader. So, in this round, teams, I'd like you to provide examples of first lines to well-known books likely to be rejected by their publishers. John Culshaw, you can start.
Okay. Well, here's Airport by Arthur Hay. As the 747 left Heathrow far behind, a voice beamed over the tannoy.
Hello, this is your pilot, Ozzy Osbourne. This is the first for me to go this old human geezer, but as the co-pilot. Fucking roll!
Yes, Peter Pan by J.M. Barry. Peter said, it's nice we could all be in the pub garden. Tinkerbell, find the patio heater.
Lady Chatterley's Lover by D.H. Lawrence. A sweet right, exclaimed Lady Chatterley.
According to its nature, I say we let bygones be bygones, chuckled kindly old Captain Ahab.
Da Vinci Code, Dan Brown. It began with the most serendipitous misprint. The Da Vinci Cod, what a great name for a chip shop.
Tales of the Unexpected. Once upon a
Grapes of Wrath by John Steinbeck. It was a big day. Tim Roth had finally decided to open a vineyard.
Hello Farm by George Orwell. Farmer Jones looked out over the newly planted fields of wheat that covers in his entire farm. Get out of that one.
David Attenborough, Life on Air, Memoirs of a Broadcaster.
I used to be the head of BBC Two, you know. Yeah, Snatch of the Day, Pot Black, they were ones of mine. But then I thought that's rather boring. Let's get to the Serengeti and bring on the rhinos.
What is your problem by Jack B? Travers. This story will end in another giant wheel down by the Thames, dedicated to Mary Poppins, called the London Under the Little Underline.
Pride and Prejudice by Jane Austen. Disappointingly, there were a few boos as the parade marched through Brighton.
No, I am Fleming. I'm afraid you're just not cut out for the Secret Service, growled M. Because you keep telling everyone you meet your name. Twice.
Charles Dickens, Great Expectations. Pip eagerly awaited the delivery of the new fireplace.
The Forbidden Planet by W.J. Stewart. Can I have a planet, please?
The Lord of the Rings by J.R.R. Tolkien.
Indeed, this is by no means my first colonoscopy.
Said Professor Gollum.
A Christmas Carol. Marley was feeling much better.
Staying with Dickens, A Tale of Two Cities, read by Ricky Gervais, for some reason. Okay, fine, okay. As I mounted the scaffold, I thought, on balance, it was the worst of times.
David Attenborough, My Life on Air, Memoirs of a Broadcaster.
There were no vacancies at the BBC, but then I noticed that one of the older reporters had become separated from the pack.
Well, okay, it's now the time when I ask our teams to play the round called One Song to the Tune of Another. Hooray! The song is very similar to an old-fashioned film camera. The camera represents the tune, while the roll of film inside the camera represents the lyrics. After you've spent the day taking photographs, you can open the camera or song and remove the used roll of film or lyrics and replace it with a new one. Of course, sometimes what you thought were a great set of photos come back all grainy and the whole day's work ends up being ruined by something annoying in the background. Sing the words of God Save the Queen by the Sex Pistols to the tune of Send in the Clowns.
God Save the Queen, the fascist regime. They made you a moron, a potential H-bomb. God Save
I'd like you to sing the words of My Old Man's a Dustman to the tune of Lou Reed's Perfect Day.
Well, here's a little story to tell. It is a must about an unsung hero that moves away your dust. Some people make a fortune and others make a mint. My old man don't earn much, in fact he's flipping skint. Oh, my old man's a dustman, he wears a dustman's hat. He wears four blimey trousers and he lives in a council flat. And he lives in a council flat.
Kissed the girl and I liked it. To the tune of the Monty Python theme, Liberty Bell
Notch. This was never the wing up and on my intention. I got some ready drinking and I lost my next special. He's not what I am used to, just one a tiny one.
Words, okay? So I'd like you to start exchanging completely unconnected words. John, and Milton and Vicky and John Finnemore, your job is to try and spot the connection. If I uphold the challenge, I'll ask you to take over and so on. And when you hear the gong, it means that the game is over. Or I just got bored and started fiddling the props. So off you go, please. John Culshaw and Milton Jones.
Logical.
Stockport.
That's a John Field band name already. Stevedore.
Sausage.
Polarity.
Squirrel.
John Finnemore's coming for the challenge there.
Yeah, that was a, surely that's a well-known sidekick in the Marvel Universe, Polarity Squirrel. A range of special powers as well.
Yes, okay, I accept that shout that that is. And for her, Polarity Squirrel.
Voice I think I thought I heard.
John, was I over to John Finnemore and Vicky Pepperdine?
Dainty. Catalogue.
Well, Milton Jones straight into the challenge there.
That's the first two words of your book.
According to you, it was a massive yawn. So no, you don't win the challenge. Back to you, John Finnemore and Vicky.
Skirmish.
Pumpkin.
Splint.
Cash.
Firmament.
Foot.
Embrocation.
Yellow. Oh shit. Oh sorry. Can I stay in the show? I know I forgot. What was it? That was Radio 2.
Of course
I
forgot.
Well, Vicky has challenged herself. No waste of one.
I would say that embrocation could have easily been yellow, and I'd like to pass it over to my colleagues.
I think someone wasn't listening when the rules were read out.
Have I got this wrong?
You have a little bit, yes. Oh. Yes, so it's back to Vicky and John again.
Should I go?
Please stay and then go.
Okay.
Back to Vicky and John.
Thanks.
Lapel.
Voltage.
Crayfish.
Sorry?
Crayfish.
Sorry.
John Culshaw has challenged that.
Well, I was wondering about the previous one, lapel voltage. You know, if you're wearing nylon, static electricity could build up.
There. Very, very true. Very true. Or it could just be a suit that I'm wearing. So yes, you win that challenge. But back to John Culshaw and Milton Jones.
Which?
Battenberg.
John Finnemore is coming.
I have a subscription to Which Battenberg.
Two, the Allies famously smuggled the means of escape to British prisoners of war by concealing them in Monopoly sets. It's incredible to think how so many of our brave boys managed to escape the clutches of their Nazi guards by wearing tiny top hats and brandishing a get out of jail feet. It's thought the phrase back to square one was inspired by the game Snakes and Ladders, and also the phrase you can put that game away, Gran, we've got Netflix. The name Jenga is based on a Swahili word meaning to build, which is why it's probably best not to buy a penthouse flat in East Africa. Well, in this round called What's Your Game, one team will play a favourite game of theirs while the opposing team should attempt to guess the name of the game. Okay, so John Finnemore and Vicky Pepperdine, you can start. The title of your game will now be advertised to the audience by the laser display board. And for listeners at home,
Vicky, do you have Mrs. Butch, Forrest's wife?
No, John, no one has Mrs. Butch. Most Butch is her own beautiful, unique spirit existing in harmony with Gaia, and owned by no one.
Yes, of course, I'm so sorry.
Also, she's not Forrest's wife, John. I mean, I believe she's currently in a frock collection with Big Hicks, Master Sandal, Shoemaker's son, and, yeah, Mr. Bong. Okay, so Nana, are you in harmony with, like, Mr. Green, the exotic herbalist?
Well, not personally, Vicky, but I hope you
are. Okay.
Scotch.
Ooh. I have absolutely no idea. It's beautiful. The theatre of the mind.
So hippies is the key word there. Well, what games of hippie? Stuck in the hippie.
hungry hippies.
Artificial hippie.
This is a radio show.
Hippie, hooray.
Very close,
Hippie.
I mean, I'd say don't get too distracted with literally the word hippie.
Okay. So a different word.
Slightly different word.
Yeah.
What game did it resemble? The basics.
Lifestyle.
Forrest's wife, the middle son, they're all part of one big hippie
family.
Yes. Yay.
I don't think you got there without John Culture. Your game is now being exhibited on the laser display board. So there you go. Off you go, please. John and Mason.
Okay, now just put this in your mouth.
Or over.
So you are attached to this huge piece of elastic. So, you ready? Happy Easter! Go!
Thank you. table for you, John Finnemore. Let's get a mystery voice for listeners at home.
Right, actually, I don't know this one, you want to teach it to me.
Okay, right, so that's super easy. Okay, you'll pick it up really easily. So first of all, just drink that.
Okay, right.
Okay, so what was that?
That was gin, that was neat gin.
Correct, so that's 1 point to you. Good one. So it's my turn. That was wrong. Your turn.
Okay. Oh! Yeah, that's wrong. That's wrong too.
Okay, my turn again. Oh, gin!
Gin, gin. I bloody love this guy.
Shakespeare to his wife after an archivist became suspicious of its contents. It reads, "My dearest Anne Hathaway, I loved you in The Devil Wears Prada." Okay, the teams will now take it in turns to improvise the letter sent between two famous figures, with two players providing one word each at a time. John and Milton, John Culshaw and Milton Jones, I'd like you to start by composing a letter from local painter Ellis Lowry to Her Majesty the Queen. Dickie and John Finnemore will come up with a reply. And so off you go, please, John Culshaw and Milton Jones.
In my mind, Lowry sounds like John Cooper Clarke, so here we go.
Dear Queen, I
am
thinking
about
this
hat.
But
on
reflection,
the
thing
I
have
Set.
So,
I
will
paint
it
in Coventry. Then
go
back
to
Manchester.
Finally.
And
paint
you.
I
think
you
are
racist.
However, this will
be
such
a
thin
brush
that
I
will
command television
when
you
invent
it.
Your
humble
portrait
will
make
money.
Which
I
think
will
be
handy.
And
my
other
wife
will
explode.
But
Prince loves
you.
So
talk
dirty.
That's your stick.
Yours
sincerely,
Prince
Lowry.
Statement on COVID, which attracted 19 million viewers, And this year, the most watched show was Line of Duty, with 15 million. If you happen to miss it, and tell you it was a roller coaster of baffling jargon, growing suspicion, corruption. The other was a drama about Ben Coppers. Continuity announcers introducing programs that have been commissioned solely on the basis that their titles have managed to incorporate an eye-catching pun. John Finnemore, you start.
Certainly. Yes, I can start. Well, BBC One, a heartwarming documentary in which every single person who worked at the Clark Shoe Factory Eaton Park Road is reunited and taken on a special coach trip to revisit that factory. That's a complete load of old cobblers.
At 8 PM on BBC Two, it's over to Holby City's Diagnostic Department for the next gripping episode of Causality. It's quite intellectual, that one.
John Cotshaw.
Well, next on BBC One, and you can't touch this, it's Oxford Property Auction in a 90s pop styling with Holmes under the MC Hammer.
And now on CBBC, Playing with Scissors gets completely out of control. Autopsy and Tim.
Explores whether the British public is ready to embrace less traditional cuts of meat. That's, do you want a knuckle sandwich?
Now on Living TV, Tess Daly and Claudia Winkleman host an all-new dominatrix dance show, Come Strictly.
Explores the implications of asteroids going to the toilet in Wonders of the Solar System.
And now on BBC One, more tales from those gangs in Birmingham that contain A4 bits of paper with the peaky ring binders.
Internetmates. Firstly, continuity announcements, which they don't have. And secondly, new to Netflix, making a gripping drama. I'll start that bit again. New to Netflix, a gripping drama about Elizabeth II making her way in the male-dominated sport of wedding throwing. That's the Queen's gumboot.
Jay Blades and the team have a challenge on their hands when Kim Kardashian brings in a much-loved but now almost unrecognisable bottom. That's the celebrity repair shot.
Next for you this Sunday afternoon, we have your 100 favourite oratorios about billiards, pool and snooker in Songs of Bays.
And now on Channel 4, we're going to see how they're getting on with the. repairs to Big Ben in Knackered Attraction.
And here on BBC 4, we're delighted that after tonight's live broadcast from the National Theatre, there will be a Q&A session with the actors and those of the audience who have questions for them. That's the cast of the curious.
On BBC Three now, it's the reality series featuring young people looking to form romantic and legally binding relationships with areas of completely empty space. That's Snog, Marry a Void.
Next for my TV, one of those afternoon quizzes that you watched for the first time, I'll read that again. Coming up next on ITV, one of those afternoon quizzes that you watch for the first 10 minutes and then fall asleep. Kipping Point.
that wild man who lives on top of a Christmas cake in The Adventures of Tarzipan.
And now a choice of viewing on BBC One. Hugh Fudley Whittingstall presents a comprehensive guide to offal and how to cook it. While on BBC Two, Michael Portillo's trip on the Grand Union Canal is interrupted when he once again has to pump out the hull of his canal boat. So that's complete triumph on BBC One and the usual bilge on BBC Two.
With strong language from the outset, Freudian psychologists discuss the role of the Oedipus complex. I thought I was reading it so nice as well, sort of a bit sexy, a bit intellectual. Try again. Coming up on BBC Four, Freudian. shall I go now, Jack?
Keep going. We want to hear it.
Okay. Strong language from the outset, as Freudian psychologists discuss the role of the Oedipus complex in the psychosexual development of the adolescent. This is still radio balls. I'm going to try one more time, and if it doesn't work, I'm just literally going to cast it somewhere new. Strong language from the outset, as Freudian psychologists discuss the role of the Oedipus complex in the psychosexual development of the adolescent male. That's, you ain't half hot, mum.
And sweet as their yellow bear friend with black ears tackles police corruption. It's Line of Sooty.
And now on BBC One, it's time for soccer from the Chelsea Flower Show in Football Crocus.
This next game is our radio version of the popular erstwhile talent show Stars in Their Eyes. It's called Stars in Their Ears. Subject of ears, I'm sorry to report that over a month ago, I contacted my local GP for an appointment to get my earwax removed. Still haven't heard a thing. Stars in Their Ears is not to be confused with the recent TV investigation into corporal punishment at some of Britain's leading public schools. Of course, was called Scars in Their Ears. Which is a link, it's not even meant to be funny. Okay, you're going to go first, please, John Finnemore. So tell us, who are you going to be tonight?
Well, tonight, Jack, I am going to be Sir Noel Coward.
Okay, John, so I'd like you please to provide us with a rendition of the song 9 to 5 in the style of Noel Coward by Dolly Parton. Oh no! Sorry, I'm going to read that again. Okay, John, I would like you to please provide us with a rendition of the song 9 to 5 by Dolly Parton in the style of Noel Coward. I'm so sorry, that's really spoiled the atmosphere. Uptown Funk, in the style of Hammers.
Into a pair of boxers, and by all accounts made a spectacular entrance in the ring. In this round, teams, I'd like to suggest songs likely to prove popular with underwear enthusiasts. You can start this one, Vicky.
Okay. tell me why I don't like undies.
John Carson?
XTC, we're only making pants for Nigel.
Bra bra Rasputin.
John Finnemore.
Socks on fire.
Girdles just want to have fun.
Coldplay, and it was all yellow.
Walking in a winter wonder bra.
Simply the best.
Who runs the world? Girdles!
Giorgio Moroder and Phil Oakey together in elastic dreams.
If I had to do the same again, I would, my friend, Commando.
Why, front Delilah?
High leg to hell?
Madonna into the groove.
It's a jockstrap and you've been caught.
I try being in my bra.
Sorry, what's again?
Thanks for the memories.
10cc, damn art for art's sake.
Anything by the Skids.
Anything by Adam the Pants?
99 red pantaloons.
Do they know it's crisp packet time? Because no one used a crisp packet with two holes in a pair of pants. Don't need the salt in there.
Life on bronze.
Underwear the arch.
And so, ladies and gentlemen, as the untreated turd of time sniffs into the coastal waters of clarity, the wild swimmer of serenity contracts the listeria of longevity. Notice it's the end of the show, so from the teams, Sven, myself, and our audience here in Salford, it's goodbye. Goodbye.
Right, ladies and gentlemen, there it is. It's time for the interval, so we'll see you back in 20 minutes' time!